Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm honored and privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished entrepreneur from the UK, a member of the House of Lords, and a fellow YPOer, Karan Bilimoria, Lord Karan Bilimoria. Karan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Lord Bilimoria is the chairman of Cobra Beer Partnership, a JV with Molson Coors. Cobra Beer has been awarded a total of 121 gold and grand gold medals since 2001. Lord Bilimoria of Chelsea in 2006 was the first ever Zoroastrian Parsi to sit in the House of Lords. He's the founding chairman of the UK-India Business Council. He's the chair of several prestigious organizations and educational institutions. And as I just mentioned, he's a fellow YPO member. So, Karan, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life?
Looking back on one's life, there are many milestones. To try and pick out three is difficult. And I would say, of course, coming to the UK to start as a 19-year-old changed my life. And the UK has been my home ever since.
Right.
And education has been a big part of my life, not only the studies that I did in India, going to seven different schools, going to university in India, graduating at 19, qualifying as a chartered accountant in London, going to Cambridge University and reading law. And then 8 years after starting my business, embarking on lifelong learning, going to Cranfield Business School, Harvard Business School, London Business School, two of those through YPO. So that lifelong learning has continued, then becoming a chancellor of a university and a chancellor of another university and a fellow of an Oxford College, fellow of a Cambridge College, chairing the Cambridge Judge Business School. So education has been a big, big part of my life. And I think, and will continue to. Of course, the most important thing was meeting my wife, my South African wife, Heather, who I met in England 1 year after I started Cobra Beer. And of course, meeting my wife and my family is the most important thing in my life, my four children. Three of them in their 20s and one still a teenager. Wonderful. And my family is both in India, my mother, my brother, my uncles and aunts were all in India, and of course my family in South Africa. And then of course, Cobra Beer, starting a business from scratch, starting building a consumer brand that is now, I'm proud to say, a household name in the UK, exported to 40 countries, manufactured in Europe and the UK. And to have created a business from scratch has also been a very important part of my life. So those are three things. And of course, then the other big development was joining the House of Lords. So and the parliamentary career that I've had for the last 15 years.
Amazing. What an amazing story you have. And I wish I had much more time to be able to talk in much more detail. But let's talk first about Cobra Beer. What made you get into beer and what was the reason behind such a powerful name?
I always wanted to start my own business. I didn't think I'd do it as quickly as I did, but I came up with the idea when I was a student at Cambridge, from visiting lots of Indian restaurants, from going to pubs. English friends introduced me to ale, to English ale, and I found fizzy lager beers very difficult to drink on their own. I found them impossible to drink with food. It's very bloating. I loved ale in a pub, but I could not drink ale with food because it was too bitter and too heavy, and that's when I came up with the idea of my own beer that would have the refreshment of a lager and the smoothness of an ale combined, that would be easy to drink and balanced, but would also have a globally appealing taste and would accompany all food, including Indian food. And to this day, our slogan is brewed smooth for all food. And now we accompany not just curry, but Lebanese, Turkish, Chinese, Thai, a gastropub, British food, or food from all around the world. And the name Cobra, we could have chosen any name. And it's turned out to be a wonderful name. It's our most valuable asset, the Cobra brand. And it's short, sharp, it's punchy. It takes you to India without doing it in an obvious way. It feels contemporary, and yet it also feels as if it's been around for centuries. Fantastic. So it's worked very well as a name.
Fantastic. So, you know, the building a brand in the alcohol world is a very, very challenging task. And I've spent a long time in cigarettes with India Tobacco. So I know how tough it is. And yet you built this brand. Tell me, what goes into building a successful alcohol brand or a beer brand?
Any brand that you start from scratch, you will invariably be going against the odds. You will be up against giants. I mean, beer is one of the oldest industries. It's millennia old. Many of the famous beer brands are centuries old. And when we started Cobra, brewed in Bangalore and imported into the UK, the Indian restaurants were already stocking Carlsberg, one of the biggest beer brands in the world. They were stocking Kingfisher, the biggest beer brand in India. So they don't need you. They don't need another brand. So you've got to have a product that is genuinely different and better, and that is the benefit to the customer you're selling to and a benefit to the consumer itself. And if you do that and you've got a product that people love, then they're going to buy more of it, and your customer's going to make more profit, and your consumer's going to be happier. And we've created a product that people genuinely love and are loyal to. And when I formed my joint venture with Molson Coors, which is now nearly 12 years old, one of the largest brewers in the world, headquartered in Chicago in America, when we formed it, they said, we have six criteria for what is an extraordinary brand, and we believe you have an extraordinary brand. And they said, an extraordinary brand is built on an undeniable brand truth. It never compromises on its principles. It has a recognizable and iconic look. It produces a consistent and reliable experience. It creates loyal brand champions, and it produces extraordinary profits. So to be an extraordinary brand, you've got to fulfill those six criteria. And Cobra, I think, has been, I'm proud to say, does.
Amazing. So, you know, when I was talking to some friends and telling them I'm going to be interviewing you, they all love the beer when they're in the UK. And they say that, what is it that is different in the beer in UK as compared to what we have in India? I mean, why does the Indian beer make you feel so heavy and bloated?
The recipe for Cobra is a very complex recipe. We've had a movement in craft beers globally recently over the last decade or so. And Cobra really is an ultimate craft beer. Okay. And that drinkability comes from a very complex recipe that I developed with Dr. Karepa, the brewer at Mysore Breweries in Bangalore in India, who I started Cobra with. And he'd been trained in Prague, and did a PhD at Prague University. And Prague, of course, Czech Republic, is the home of Pilsner beer. Yep. And what we do is we not only produce a wonderful classic Pilsner beer, but we have added ingredients. So it's not only malted barley, yeast, water, but we have rice, we have maize, we have wheat. It's double fermented. We have three varieties of hops from Bavaria. So it's the intricacy of the recipe and the way that we make it that gives the beer its smoothness. And you never feel heavy. It's very balanced.
And for all our viewers and listeners in India, is the same formulation available in the Indian market also?
Soon we're going to be relaunching Cobra in India. Okay. And I want to make sure it's exactly the same formulation. And the Cobra beer range, and it's, by the way, it's a whole range now. It's the original Cobra, it's non-alcoholic Cobra, it's gluten-free Cobra. We have an IPA, India Pale Ale, called Malabar, off the Malabar coast of Karnataka, with Bangalore, of course, is in Karnataka, Safer Cobra originated. And we have our double fermented King Cobra that we produce at one of the finest breweries in Belgium. And I'm proud to say, at Harvard Business School through YPR, I remember they said in the class, you must be confident but not arrogant. You must be ambitious but also humble. You must be humbitious. So ambitiously, I say we've won 121 gold medals. And, you know, I'm proud of that. We're one of the most awarded beers in the world.
Incredible. And, you know, in the beer market in the UK, isn't it overcrowded already?
It's a very competitive market. And the beauty of the UK as a market is that it has always been an open, outward-looking economy for the last few decades. And that's why it's still the sixth largest economy in the world with only 1% of the world's population. Correct. And when it comes to entrepreneurship, the UK is now considered one of the best countries in the world for entrepreneurship, to start your company, to scale up your company, whatever it is in, including today in tech and fintech. And with the beer market, the good thing about it, the UK, is being open, you have a lot of competition. Anyone can have a go. And I'd rather have an open market where anyone can have a go. And the flip side of that is there's lots of competition, but at least there are no barriers. So anyone can go start a beer brand. And that's why we now have thousands of craft breweries that have sprung up around the UK, which I think is wonderful.
Wonderful. And any plans to enter into any other alcohol segment?
Yes, we have plans. Watch this space. So we're developing two very interesting products.
Okay. I hope you're developing malt whiskeys, because that's got big market.
Sorry, I correct myself. Three interesting products.
Okay. I'm going to look for those and maybe come and ask you for another interview then. So, Karan, tell me, you know, for someone who left India, was 19, educated in the UK, in India, built such a powerful brand, recognized globally, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I found that the surviving through building a brand is it's a roller coaster. It's not a smooth upward trajectory. Yes, it is an upward trajectory, but there are lots of bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. And there's got to be a lot of resilience involved. Mm-hmm. And an entrepreneur who went to my school in Uti, and also from Hyderabad, where I was born, I met him in the UK with my partner, Arjun Reddy, also from Hyderabad, who I started Cobra Beer with in mm-hmm. the initial years. Mm-hmm. We went to see him, and he said entrepreneurs have one category of characteristic that sets them apart. They have guts. Mm-hmm. They have the guts to do it when others wouldn't even try. Okay. But more importantly, they have the guts to stick with it when others would give up. And that has resonated with me so much, because there are three times when I've nearly lost my business in my mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. And that guts to stick with it has been very, very important. And I found that the crises that hit you, including the pandemic that has hit us over the last year, nobody mm-hmm. saw that coming. Mm-hmm. They come out of the blue. They're unpredicted. It's how you deal with them. And I found that three things that get you through a crisis, in my case, one is having a strong brand. The Cobra brand has been very resilient throughout. Mm-hmm. Secondly, is having a loyal team and a strong and loyal team. And also, family support, if you have a family. So my wife has stood by me throughout all the ups and downs of the business over all these years. And without her support, I wouldn't be talking to you now. And the third thing is integrity. It is better to fail doing the right thing than to succeed doing the wrong thing, and always playing with a straight bat and always practicing integrity.
Very well said. Very well said. My next question to you is that, you know, you run such large businesses. What would you say is your leadership style?
I've been very lucky to have been able to observe leadership at close quarters, because my late father, General Faridun Bilimoria, was commissioned into the Gurkhas, mm-hmm. into the 5th Gurkha, the 2nd, 5th Gurkha Rifles Frontier Force. And that was a battalion that had been awarded 3 Victoria Crosses in the Second World War. Mm-hmm. And I was lucky to have been brought up from childhood, two of those who survived, one was posthumous. Mm-hmm. And to see that leadership at close quarters, including when my father commanded his battalion, mm-hmm. and then as he progressed through his career, commanding a brigade and a division and a corps, and eventually being commander-in-chief of the Central Indian Army, commanding mm-hmm. 350,000 troops.
Yeah.
And my father was a great leader, mm-hmm. and I learned a lot from his leadership style. Mm-hmm. And he was an inspiring, motivational leader. And his mantra was, there's no point having an efficient team. You've got to have a happy and an efficient team. And I also believe very much in the concept of service leadership. Mm-hmm. If I paraphrase the motto of the Indian Military Academy, which my father graduated from, mm-hmm. It's the honor and safety and welfare of your country comes first always and every time. The safety and welfare of your troops comes second always and every time. Mm-hmm. And your own safety and welfare comes last always and every time. And similarly at Sandhurst, which is a British military academy, their motto is serve to lead. So a true leader is a service leader.
Fantastic. So one more question about, you and the business, and I'm going to talk to you about millennials. Our world today is going to be run by millennials and Gen Zs. And I think you said your children are also in the Gen Z category. The millennials and Gen Zs, according to some people, are fickle. How do you stay ahead with Cobra to meet their aspirations?
The wonderful thing about Cobra as a brand, from the time I started, which is now 3 decades ago, mm-hmm. We've had a wonderful loyal following, okay. particularly from young people. Mm-hmm. And that's throughout the 3 decades. So even my children's contemporaries love Cobra. Okay. So it has this feeling and aura about it as a brand that it was almost developed a cult feeling. Mm. And I think that you've got to be true to yourself. And this concept of trust, mm. Frances Fry, one of my professors from Harvard Business School, she gave a lecture during the pandemic on trust. And she said to engender trust, and that's whether you're as an entrepreneur, a leader, or as a brand, or even as a country, are you authentic? That's the first point of the triangle. Mm. Is it the real you? The second point of it is, do you have the logic, do you have the capability to deliver what you're promising, you're saying you're going to do? Mm-hmm. And the third is empathy. Are you in it for yourself? Are you in it for them? Mm-hmm. So if you have authenticity, logic, and empathy, you can get trust. And I think that's the really important thing, is to get that trust. Mm-hmm. And then you can build brands. Now, where young people are concerned, if you ask them today, mm-hmm. name the things that are important to you, there are two things that stand out. Mm-hmm. One, the environment and climate change really matters to them. Mm. And as president of the CBI, the Confederation of British Industry, our sister organization is the CII in India, their offices in London are based within the CBI offices. That we are hosting, along with Britain, the G7, where India is also participating. It'll be the D10, India, South Korea, and Australia joining the G7. And in November, we're hosting the UN COP26 Climate Change Conference. Wow. So climate change is very important to young people. The second thing that's very important to young people is diversity and inclusion.
Correct.
And I'm the first Indian origin, ethnic minority president of the CBI in its 60-year history. And I've just launched a campaign to promote ethnic minority diversity and participation across all business in the UK called Change the Race Ratio. And we've already had many of the top companies, including Deloitte and Aviva and BP, Microsoft, who joined the initiative to champion ethnic minority participation in business.
So well said. So well said. You know, I was going to ask you a question on ESG and diversity and inclusion, but you already answered those questions. So I'm going to now move to India and United Kingdom. And you are the chairman of the UK India Business Council. My question to you is that post-Brexit, how do you see the business relationships between India and the UK growing?
I'm proud to have founded the UK India Business Council. So I'm forever the founding chairman of the UK India Business Council. And from the time I left India, I've been passionate about UK-India relations. In fact, it's at the heart of me as an individual. I feel equally at home in the UK as I do in India. And it's at the heart of Cobra as a brand. Cobra, in many ways, is an Indo-British brand. It's a world beer. And that passion for putting India and the UK together has been a very core part of my life. The UK India Business Council is an organization that champions that. Of course, the UK government has one of the largest diplomatic missions in the world in India. And the potential is huge. But to put this into context, our trade between the UK and India is around £24 billion at the moment in goods and services both ways. Now, if you compare that with China, the UK's trade with China is £100 billion. We've just applied to join the CPTPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The 11 countries that belong to that, the trade is £110 billion. The whole of the Commonwealth, 54 countries, 2.6 billion people, of which India makes up 1.3 billion, half the population of the Commonwealth, those 54 countries, which includes India, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and all the other countries, makes up less than 10% of the UK's trade. So the potential to enhance UK-India trade is exponential. So we now have the British Prime Minister visiting India in the early part of 2021, and we're launching the Enhanced Trade Partnership to quadruple our trade to £100 billion by 2030. And I think that's possible. And look at what's happened in the pandemic. We've got the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine, Oxford University, AstraZeneca, British-Swedish company, headquartered in Cambridge. And who are the partners? The Serum Institute of India, with my fellow Parsis and friends, Cyrus and other Poonawalla, the largest vaccine manufacturer in the world, with a 1 billion dose contract for the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine. So the potential is huge and is only going to grow.
Very well said. But tell me, you know, I keep wondering, why is it that politicians in India keep going back to colonial legacies? I mean, 70 years, it's over 75 years, it's over and done with now. But what makes us keep going back to it? And I'll ask you to wear your Indian hat.
Well, whenever I take any Indian guests around the House of Lords, I always stop in front of a mural in St. Stephen's Hall in the middle of Parliament, in the center, in between the House of Lords and the House of Commons. And it's a mural of Sir Thomas Rowe, the first British ambassador to India in 1614, presenting his credentials to the Mughal Emperor Jahangir.
Oh, wow.
So that's how far back our relationship goes. And it's a 400-year relationship. And a lot has happened in that time. The key is, I say that you looking ahead, there are two countries the UK has a special relationship with. One is the United States of America. There's no question about that.
Correct.
They are our single biggest trading partner. They make up 15% of our trade. They're a very important strategic partner. We're part of NATO together. We're the second biggest contributor to NATO after the United States. So in every way, America is a special relationship. Our other special relationship is with India. And I think it goes beyond trade. It also goes to security, our armed forces and the partnership. But the most important thing is the living bridge that exists between the UK and India, the 1.5 million Indians who are people of Indian origin who live in the UK, who are now reaching the very top in every field. No better example than our Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rishi Sunak, our Home Secretary, Preeti Patel, Alok Sharma, the Minister in charge of COP26, the UN Climate Change Conference, cabinet minister. That's just on the cabinet table.
Yep.
And there are more. And let alone in Parliament, in both houses of Parliament, let alone in business, some of our largest businesses and the wealthiest people in Britain are Indians, let alone in the arts, let alone in sport. In every area, they're reaching the top. And they're a real bridge and permanent ambassadors between the UK and India. And I always say you can leave India, but India never leaves you.
You're right. Very well said. So I'm going to now move to the last segment of our conversation, which are some questions for you personally now. Karan, for someone who has achieved so much in life and who's continuing to do so much more, from where you stand today, what does success mean to Karan?
I always feel that success is not a destination. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. And it's very relative. And yes, I look back and I feel I've been so lucky to have been given the opportunities to be able to achieve some of the things that I have. Mm-hmm. But in many, many ways, I feel I've just started. I've got so much more still to do. And as long as one has that attitude that there's so much more to do, mm-hmm. and as long as you always stay curious, as long as you always stay thirsty to learn and to continue learning more and more and more. And every time I go to the House of Lords, I learn. Every time I take part in an event, I learn. I'm learning talking to you right now. And one of my favorite sayings of Mahatma Gandhi, which my younger son told me when he was 17 years old, mm-hmm. Was live as if you're going to die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Learn as if you're going to live forever.
Wow.
And that concept of lifelong learning is real. And I think is absolutely wonderful. And the concept of the growth mindset is real. As long as you continue want to learn, have that yearning to learn, it never stops.
Fantastic. A follow-up question to success is that who or what inspires you to keep on doing so much more every day?
There are lots of things that inspire me. I mean, there are people who've inspired me. I spoke about my father, yep. who has always inspired me and always will. Mm-hmm. My great-grandfather, my maternal great-grandfather, Didi Italia, mm-hmm. was an entrepreneur mm-hmm. from Hyderabad, and he built a very successful business, but he was a family man. He looked after his family very, very well. Mm-hmm. He was a philanthropist. He did huge amounts for the community, for not just the Parsi community, for the whole of the community, wherever he lived, whether it was in Hyderabad or Bangalore or Madras and in the districts. Mm-hmm. And he was a public servant. He was a member of the Rajya Sabha. Mm-hmm. And so now, four generations later, I'm trying to do what he did in India in the UK and following his footsteps. Mm-hmm. So he's inspired me. And also I feel there is so much to be done to help people. Mm-hmm. And that, again, that there is no end to it. So we started the Cobra Foundation, mm-hmm. and we've now supported so many different charities, mm-hmm. many of the major charities in the UK. For example, we have a water product called the Cobra Foundation Baloo Water, mm-hmm. which we sell in hundreds of restaurants. Mm-hmm. And we've raised hundreds of thousands of pounds because 100% of our profit from that water. It's one of the best mineral waters in the UK. So it's the one served in Parliament, for example, mm-hmm. in top Michelin-starred restaurants. Yeah. And the secret is that 100% of our profits, we donate to WaterAid for clean water and sanitation, saving lives in South Asia.
Incredible.
And it's that sort of thing that I think one needs to continue doing. And I wish I could do more of it.
Amazing. So I have time for two more questions for you. My next question is on failure. And I've often said, and I have a new book that was released 3 days ago, you know, South Asian parents don't teach children that it's okay to fail. We're always told first in class, head of the line, etc. And that manifests itself in our behavior patterns, yet we fail. My question to you is, what have been some of your learnings from some of your mistakes?
One of my favorite sayings is good judgment comes from experience, mm-hmm. and experience comes from bad judgment. Mm. So there is no shortcut to making the mistakes and learning from those mistakes.
Okay.
And I've made so many mistakes. If I look back on it, there are so many mistakes that I've made. And really, the key is, can you learn from them? Mm. Can you actually bounce back stronger from them? Mm. And that's why during this pandemic, we have this term which has become quite cliched, is how can we build back better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's real. How can you, while you're still trying to survive, also have a long-term view to make things better in the long term? So, for example, in the CBI, we're about to launch the economic vision for the United Kingdom for the next 10 years, 2030. Mm-hmm. And we're coming up with this vision in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. In the Second World War, there was the Beveridge Report that was launched in 1942 in the midst of the war. Mm-hmm. After the war in 1945, it was implemented, and that is what created the National Health Service mm-hmm. and the welfare state that changed the history of the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important that even in the toughest of times, to look forward and have that long-term view and that foresight mm-hmm. to make things better in the long term.
Terrific. And my last question now to you, and this is for the thousands of people who will listen to all your words of wisdom. What would your advice be to a young entrepreneur who's starting off on her or his journey in the startup world?
I would urge all young people to think of entrepreneurship as a career. Mm-hmm. One of the most important characteristics of an entrepreneur is the ability to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I would urge our children from a very young age to realize that every one of us has the potential mm-hmm. to be creative. And it is that ability to be creative and innovative that is so key to success in life and to being an entrepreneur. One of the best pieces of advice that my father gave me mm-hmm. was, whatever you're asked to do when I started work for the first time, mm-hmm. he said, do that task and do that job that you're asked to do, mm-hmm. but always do that little bit extra that you were not asked to do. And what he was saying is always take initiative, always be innovative, always be creative, and always go the extra mile. And our motto at Cobra Beer is, which I took from my great-grandfather, mm-hmm. and his motto, which is on my coat of arms in the House of Lords, is to aspire and achieve. Mm-hmm. And I've extended that to aspire and achieve against all odds with integrity. And that's almost a definition of entrepreneurship. You start off with an idea, you want to get somewhere with the idea, you've got little or no means, and you go out there and you have all the odds stacked against you, and you make it happen, and you make it happen the right way with integrity, and then the sky's the limit.
Fantastic. Lord Bilmoria, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure speaking to you. I've loved listening to every bit of your journey. I'm taking home one very amazing word, which is humbitious. And I think a lot of our listeners must understand you've got to be humble and be ambitious like you are. I wish you lots of success, and I look forward to hopefully catching up with you whenever you're in India.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.